May the words come out and the meditations in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I will confess that I chose this Sunday to preach. There are a couple of reasons why this is so. First, the readings on Pentecost are rich, timely, and they seem to speak to me. But secondly, and probably more significantly, I knew that it was not long before it would be my turn again to preach, and I wanted to preempt any idea Carol might have that I preach on Trinity Sunday. My mentor instilled in me the idea to avoid that like the plague. It's usually not a good idea to try to cover all of the lectionary readings in one homily, but I've never been one to let bad ideas stop me from doing anything before, so why start today? In the reading from Numbers that Sandy shared with us, Moses has gathered the elders at the tent, which is located some distance from where they camp. While they're gathered at the tent, he bestows God's Spirit on them that they might prophesy. Now, two of the elders, for reasons we don't know, remained in the camp, and so they weren't part of this exercise. But when the others returned from the tent, there were these two with the same ability, prophesying with the best of them. Those who had gone out to the tent ran their mouth to Moses, implying, how dare they make them stop? Now, Moses, being the sage that he is, realizes the gift that they have received and rebuffs the challenge. This story is also paralleled in one of the gospel readings where Jesus sends the disciples out to heal the sick, and the disciples run across another group offering healing in the name of Jesus. The disciples run back to Jesus and tell him what they've witnessed, tattletales each and every one of them. Jesus, much like Moses, is unimpressed with their complaints. Why, as Christians, are we so concerned with credentials, even to the point of castigating doubt on someone who is helping to bring about the kingdom of heaven? Now, the reading from Acts today is a classic for Episcopalian preachers. In that story, the Spirit has descended on the followers, and they are speaking in tongues that are only understandable to certain others. The witnesses to this claim that they are inebriated. Thus, we have tangible proof that the original followers were not Episcopalian, for their answers that it cannot be true, for it is only 9 o'clock. Are we any more open and accepting to the gifts of the Spirit today than these people were some 2,000 years ago? Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day on the church calendar where we recognize the receiving of the Holy Spirit from Jesus to his followers. Just in case you haven't noticed, red is the color of the day. It is also the day that's considered the birthday of the church. The living water that Jesus speaks of in the gospel is an analogy of the Holy Spirit. It is the gift that will remain with us and in us through the grace of Christ. Jesus compares the Spirit to water, and how appropriate that is. Water is essential for life. It quenches our thirst, makes up most of our planet as well as our bodies, and provides nourishment for plants and animals of the earth. We can't survive without it. On a more practical note, think about the vacations that you've taken in your lifetime, and how many of those, by intention, were on or around the body of water. There is something about it that relaxes the soul. In one of my favorite books entitled The Shack, the author describes the Spirit as an entity that the human character can't quite bring into focus. I absolutely love that rendering, and I think much like the Spirit that he's describing there, water is the same. It moves freely. It can be very clear, but oftentimes it's very murky. And it can provide peace and comfort. I remember as a kid, we had a pool in our backyard. And in that pool, my siblings and I learned to scuba dive. I remember one evening we were all swimming, and I decided to see how long I could hold my breath underwater. I put on nothing but a weight belt and submerged in the shallow end. Once I had settled on the bottom, total peace engulfed me. The laughing and cutting up from the others in the deep end was no longer evident to me. The light in the pool was visible through the water, and I could see some activity from the deep end, but it seemed very far removed. There was simply the feeling of being totally surrounded by peace. I don't remember how long I stayed under, but there was no panic to get to the surface, no shortness of breath when I got there, just an emergence from a quiet world into the mayhem of a pool filled with kids. Peace was found under the water. Water plays a significant part in our liturgy as well. It is present in the font as you enter and leave the church. It is used in the Eucharist to combine with the wine, as well as to cleanse the celebrant in preparation for the offering of the Eucharistic prayer. Today at 10:30, we use water to baptize a new member into the body of Christ. The Thanksgiving that Carol will share with us in a moment concerning water speaks to its significance in our world. It talks of how the Holy Spirit moved over it in the beginning of creation, how God led his people through it to escape their bondage in Egypt, and of course how Jesus himself received baptism from John in water. As we celebrate the renewal of our baptismal vows and the welcoming of Alice Rose through her baptism, let us take the power of that living water out into the world to truly love and serve the Lord.